Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves. He's not talking about taking selfies, or about watching your weight, or about tooting your own horn, or patting yourself on the back. He's talking about judging yourself. Looking inside and seeing the sin, the hypocrisy, the fear and unbelief that reigns in your heart. Listening to your own words as you speak and hearing the hatred that comes out. Looking at your actions and seeing just how contrary they are to God's word. You are not to pay attention so that you can do a better job of hiding your sin from your neighbor or from God, as if that were possible. You're not to pay attention to yourselves so that you know how much you will have to pay back for this sin that you have committed. Pay attention to yourselves so that you can see just how much Christ has forgiven you. Immediately after Jesus tells the disciples to pay attention to themselves, he says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Immediately after you have considered how much Jesus has forgiven you, you are reminded that you are to be Christ-like in forgiving your neighbors also. How many times a day do we sin against our God in thought, words, and deeds? And yet He is still merciful. He does not even keep a record of our sins because the blood of His own Son has already paid the price. Jesus says here, so should it be among us. And he means what he says. If someone sins against you, you are to go to them. You are to go to them and show them their sin. Do this in private, not to ridicule them, not to bring them down a notch, not so they can make restitution to you. Go to them in private and show them their sin so that you can be Christ-like and forgive them. Christ doesn't parade you in front of the masses revealing your sins. He simply pays the price that you can live. Go show their sin so that you can be merciful and forgive. If, on the other hand, you will not go to them with their sin, but choose instead to speak to others, then you become the one guilty of sinning against your brother and of leading anyone who listens to you into sin. And the punishment for those that lead others into sin, especially one of these little ones in the faith, is a great millstone hung around your neck and you are thrown into the depths of the sea. This is no joking matter. Gossip and slander destroy good names and reputations. An unwillingness to confront sin, to seek repentance, to forgive, and to be reconciled is not from Jesus, but is of the devil. Seriously, who do you think wants you and your neighbor to be separated from each other because of sin? It's not Jesus. Who do you think wants you to hold the grudge and to withhold forgiveness? Again, it's not Jesus. Who do you think wants you to go on sinning? Not Jesus. Who do you think wants you to keep a record of sins and judge others, but not judge yourself? It's not Jesus. He pays the price. He silences the accuser. He doesn't want that to remain quiet. He wants us to share that forgiveness with others. This text goes on, though. Even if we do forgive our neighbor who has sinned against us, even if it is seven times in a single day or more, It's not like we have done something deserving of great honor, is it? It is, after all, only our duty as Christians to forgive. And even if we have done our duty well, which is hard for anyone who pays attention to himself to actually say, we are still unworthy servants. As Christ-like as we may be at times, you know yourself, too often we are not. This is exactly why, after all of this instruction from Jesus, the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. How are we to do this thing? This is not part of our nature. It is miraculous. A posture of forgiveness is not one that comes naturally. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We are conceived and born in sin. We are selfish from the very womb. And that struggle remains with us while we are alive in the flesh. Forgiving means dropping our case and our claim against somebody else. Forgiving means loving when we really want to hate. Forgiving, like faith, can only come from God's doing. He forgives so we can forgive. He creates faith that we may trust in Him. This past week, a lady named Amber Geiger, who was on trial, received her verdict and sentencing from the judge. She's the police officer who returned to her home one evening after a long shift, found her door open and a man inside her living room that she did not recognize. She shot and killed the man, thinking he was an intruder in her home. However, she was not on the right floor in her apartment complex, and it was not an intruder in her room at all. Instead, she killed an innocent man in his own apartment. She was found guilty and sentenced to 10 years in prison. This is, of course, a very sad story, but it's not terribly remarkable. This kind of thing can happen all the time. What is remarkable about this woman and this story is the incredible act of mercy and kindness that was shown to her. The brother of the man that she killed took the stand in the courtroom, and he spoke directly to her and said, I love you like anyone else. Later in the same courtroom, he hugged her and forgave her before she was let off to prison. This is Christ-like behavior. This is Christ-like love and mercy. It is not earned or deserved, and yet it is still freely given. The consequences of our sin will remain. They will often continue to cause pain to those we have sinned against. But forgiveness brings freedom for both the one who has sinned and for the one who forgives. Not freedom from an earthly prison before our time is served. The law still stands. She will serve her time in jail. But freedom in our conscience, freedom in our heart, freedom before God's throne, and not just for this life either, but for eternity. Jesus wants us to forgive so that others will know the forgiveness that He has won and given to us. He not only shows us how this is done, He goes out and forgives us first. He forgives us for all of the evil that we see when we pay attention to ourselves, when we look into the desires of our own hearts, when we listen to our evil thoughts, words, and deeds, when we see how our evil deeds affect others. He forgives us for not forgiving as we ought. He forgives us for not believing and trusting in Him as we should. He forgives us for everything that we have done against our neighbor that has caused them harm. He forgives us for what we have done against our God, against what has separated us from our Heavenly Father. And there is nothing more freeing than His forgiveness freely given. The text says temptations to sin are sure to come. And despite our best intentions, we will stand in the way of the gospel. We will fail to forgive when we ought, and we will even lead others astray. Our brothers and sisters will sin against us, and we will sin against them. We will struggle with forgiving them, and they will struggle with forgiving us. We will be tempted to believe that God's forgiveness is not for miserable sinners like us. We will be tempted by the devil to claim that our neighbor isn't worthy of our mercy and forgiveness. And the devil will continue to accuse and condemn. He will continue to prowl around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Temptations to sin are sure to come. But our Lord Jesus Christ never leads us into temptation. Instead, He's the one that teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And you can be certain that our Father in heaven hears that prayer and that He will keep us from these evil things. Though we do not deserve it, He freely forgives us and loves us. He strengthens our faith through the proclamation of His death and resurrection from the dead, through the confession of our sins and His spoken absolution, as we cling again to our baptism into His death and resurrection from the dead, where He has given us life. And then He feeds and nourishes us with His own body and blood as a life-giving meal, as a medicine that heals us from our sins, that sustains us in this life so that we do not waver but rely on Him alone for our life and salvation. We are unworthy servants, but He is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. We are unfaithful in doing our duties and in trusting in Him, but He is always faithful for us. We deserve temporal and eternal death, but He doesn't give us what we deserve. In His mercy and by His blood, He calls us to repentance and He forgives our sins and He gives us eternal life. There is no greater gift that you can receive or that you can share with others. This is the good deposit that has been entrusted to you in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord. And this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand on His sure word. Our reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trust in human wisdom relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient, it makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure. In life and death, Lord, keep me until Your heaven I gain, where I, by Your great mercy, the end of faith obtain. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin, and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.